This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. And just in time for Valentine's Day, get $15 off the engraving chrome Winston set by entering the code MorningStreamValentine at checkout. That's MorningStreamValentine, all one word, at harrys.com. Coming up on TMS, let's talk about Twitter experiments.
Katy Perry is evil after all.
Sell your what for 13K?
Lohan is suit happy. Look at Duck.
Google your winnings.
Fitness geek.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You must recover all the energy immediately, Mega Man.
But where is Dr. Wily?
That's a good question. We may be able to locate another energy emission from the radar room.
Done it deliberate.
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
And a caveman.
And a caveman. Who would be the caveman? Who's our caveman?
Our caveman is that would Daryl? Be Jury.
Oh, okay. Except he's not on today, damn it. Poor
That's
guy.
That's why I picked him.
No, it's a good idea. He's flying today. He's on a plane. Traveling, as he put it. He used the word traveling.
Probably experiencing some air rage.
You think so?
Yeah, probably.
All right. That's okay. The screaming child next to him, maybe. Some other form of in-flight irritation. Getting on Jury's nerves. But he won't be here today. He's not here today. That means, hey, this show may be on time. but he will be here Wednesday because he wants to hang out with us in the news. And I told him I think that'd be fine. So,
sure.
Yeah, we'll do a little makeup time with Jury tomorrow. He is not one to leave us high and dry. In fact, he is one to leave us low and wet.
What?
Well, the opposite of high and dry.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's all I'm saying. You don't need to. No one needs read into that any more than I said. Low and wet, okay. High and dry, opposite of high and dry. You know?
Okay. Sure. Oh, boy.
Send your emails to Brian. All right. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Low.
So here's the deal. Listen to this.
Sorry, Tom York.
I made a... is he still with us? Yeah,
he's still with us.
Okay. Is he? How old is he?
It's Radiohead. They're like 18.
Oh, are they? They're older now. They're like our age.
They're like in their... I want to say that Tom York's probably in his mid-30s.
Let's take a look here, just for fun.
All right.
Tom York is 46 years old.
Oh, he's way older than I thought. How about Johnny Greenwood?
Older than me. Weird. Let's see. Johnny Greenwood is 43 years old.
Okay.
Let's see. Philip Selway... is 47. Dude's knocking on 50.
Wow.
And Ed O'Brien, 46. And finally, Colin Greenwood, 45.
So
Johnny
coming up
Colin.
Soon for the Radiohead group is colonoscopies.
Yep. And I'll bet they'll be all sad and forlorn about it.
There'll be a new album.
Yeah.
Going, I didn't like it. The Turtlehead.
Yeah, it'll be called Turtlehead.
Yeah. Actually, they'll record their album while they're coming out of the anesthesia.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you did.
Which
and
you
no
won't
one will notice.
Yeah, you won't even notice the difference. You might hear that to do some audio work on the laughing nurse in the background, but other than that, it'll be like a regular album.
The anesthesiologist was really hot.
Yeah, we can now say that Radiohead is older than us. Something about that feels wrong to me.
Crazy.
Doesn't feel right. All right. So a couple weeks ago, my sister had, we talked a bunch about this experiment of giving up on social media for a day.
Sure.
And seeing how that goes. I totally forgot to tell you this yesterday. I meant to bring it up, but there was a lot of Super Bowl talk, so I didn't get a chance to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Super Bowl Sunday, I decided to really challenge myself. I decided the day before that I was going to not post or use Twitter all day on Super Bowl Sunday, thinking to myself, well, that's even a bigger challenge because that's a big day for Twitter.
You got to talk about all the goofy things that happen.
Sure, you want to have this commentary. And I made it until about 3:30 in the afternoon and literally could not help myself after that. Like, I just didn't have the self-control that I had hoped that I would have. And I launched in there, and I launched in there hard and never left again. So my experiment failed. Like, I thought I could do it.
Yeah, you made it about half a day.
Yeah, and I was in a room full of people at that Super Bowl party where everybody else never posted on Twitter once. They don't have that problem. They didn't feel the need. To them, that didn't matter at all. All that mattered to them was the food and the people and the game. And I couldn't stop myself. I had to say things. So right. I could look at this one of two ways, Brian, and you can maybe help me with the psychology here. I could look at it this way, which is... I have a problem and that I check Twitter too much. That could be one. There's option A. Option B is the room full of people that I want to talk to are not in the room. They're in the world. And that's who I want to hang out with and talk to and interact with.
I hope your family's not listening to you say this.
Well, it wasn't my family mostly. It was like neighbors.
Oh, well, then that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, my wife and kids were there, but they know what I'm doing. So
it's funny that you bring this up because Tina and I were talking about this weekend. We were talking about that this weekend. We were in line at Panera Bread, and they said, all right, it'll be a few minutes wait. Turned into a half an hour wait, but I got my phone out because I was going to play some trivia crack or catch up on tweets or emails or whatever. And she just kind of looks at me and I said, well, what? She's basically saying, well, how come we're not just sitting here having a conversation while we're waiting in line? I said, okay, start a conversation.
It's always the right tone to use.
Yes, exactly. Sure. I said it jokingly. I said it with a big smile on my face.
Right. So how'd it go after that?
Well, so it went well, but we were talking about, I said, well, Scott's done this thing in the past where he's stopped using his iPhone for a day, with the exception of making phone calls and answering and stuff like that.
Sure.
And she said, well, you see if you could do that. I said, all right, well, we need some ground rules. Like, what are the rules? Can I use my iPad? Mm-hmm. Can I use my computer? Mm-hmm. Can I play games on the PlayStation? Mm-hmm. At what point is the technology
Do you go complete cold turkey that day with everything, or do you have you gotta lay down those rules. I agree.
So if I can't use my phone for anything but phone purposes, then it seems only right that I wouldn't be able to use my iPad at all, because I don't use that for any non-recreational social media entertainment kind of thing.
Sure.
So
what are you going to do? Are you going to try it?
We never figured out what the answer was. She said, well, we should ask Scott what he did, what his rules were. So.
Yeah. If you're like me, I would have slowly had this conversation would have turned to, well, let's look it up. And then I would have used my phone to look something up, and then I would have blown the whole deal.
Let's look up the rules.
So I think the rules should be, if we're going to truly do the experiment, because I have yet to do it 100%. I've done it where I've not checked Twitter all day before, but not on the Super Bowl. That just about killed me. I couldn't do it.
Sure.
But to do it on a day where, and we can pick a day where there's nothing huge going on, but we pick a day and we literally go full cold turkey on all devices. And so this should be like a weekend or something, like not the whole weekend, but like say a Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday morning till night, midnight to midnight, zero phone, zero iPad, zero any computing device of any kind. No internet, nothing that gets internet. We can drive a car. That's some technology we can use. We can, what else? If we're going to a movie, that's fine. If we want to watch a movie on TV, that's fine. Sure, that may be internet connected, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll treat that like a DVD or something.
Sure.
That kind of thing I think is totally fine, but I think you go the whole day without any kind of computery thing. And the challenge of it is, the other rule should be our wives should be aware of the day we're doing it so that they can police us and make sure that we're sticking to our guns, or, not necessarily make us do it, but be the referee and notice that you grabbed your phone six times. You didn't notice, but you totally grabbed your phone or whatever. And then we report back and see how we did.
Like this idea.
Yeah. Now, I would say let's not do it this Saturday because I have a ton of crap I have to do that day that involves all sorts of computing. But I think
I'm going to be in Albuquerque and there's going to be lots of coordination.
Oh, that's right. Like, remind, what's going on down there? What are you doing down there?
The Geeks Who Drink Geek Bowl. So 12 months ago in the great city of Austin, Texas, I and the rest of my team, really it was my team, I got to ride along. took the top spot in the national competition called Geek Bowl, put on by the Geeks Who Drink guys.
Well, that's right, as witnessed by one Brian Brushwood at the time.
Exactly, yeah. So he got to be there for the event, and he showed up just as we were getting called up on stage as one of the final four teams, and they were doing kind of a countdown thing to say, all right, who's third place, who's second place, and then who's the winner. And we got the same team again. This year it's in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. In Walter White land. So we are going to do a little bit of Breaking Bad sightseeing. Got to see the A1 car wash, and
you got to get photos, dude.
Gardenias and I don't think we're going to go by the house because apparently people live there.
Yeah, they hate that,
and they're really sad about living there and all the people who drive by
and how popular. They've been even offered a ton of money for that house and they don't want to move. They're like, no, we like it here. It's a nice area.
But please stop throwing pizzas on the roof of our garage.
Please stop driving your Aztecs and parking them here and taking photos with the Aztec, please.
Please stop throwing stuffed animals in the pool. Anyway, so that's what's going on this weekend. And so, yeah. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's going to be a lot of coordination and contact and stuff like that going on. So I got to have my phone this weekend.
Well, I'm excited to see photos of whatever you do see, though. That's exciting. Yeah, that's cool. And you'll need to use your phone for that.
Here's what seems like the most logical option, right? Mm. Is February 14th, which is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We don't really, Tina and I don't really celebrate it. We don't get each other things for Valentine's Day because she'd rather get surprised on, you know, April 19th with something and September 14th or whatever. So we don't do anything for each other for Valentine's Day. But that seems like it would be a really good day. It's a Saturday. We could give up our phones for that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. In fact, that could be your annual way to celebrate Valentine's Day.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah,
I'm not committing to doing this every year.
Yeah, you slow down, everybody. I would go for that. In fact, so the only tradition we have, we spend the rest of the year giving each other things, but we don't do that on that day. What we do instead is Kim makes a giant boiled crab and shrimp fest kind of dinner with the kids. So we do that with the kids. It's all about the kids, all about the family, because we figure, hey, what better representation of our Valentine's-ness than the offspring.
Love.
Yeah. Here are the love children, the kids that came from the love and the and the hot, fiery passion, right?
Right.
So that's how we celebrate. So I'm all about I'm all about that. I think that sounds great. Someone on Twitter just told me that on yesterday's TMS. He says on yesterday's TMS I was in grumpy old man mode. Was I in grumpy old man mode? I think it was because I was just complaining about people saying sports ball? That made me grumpy old man, dude.
Yeah, and complain about crappy commercials and stuff like that. Then consider us grumpy old men.
I guess we're grumpy because that all sucked.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. Thanks, CJ, on Twitter.
All right, cool. February 13th.
So, all right, we're doing it. That's our plan. It'll just be fun to kind of come back and talk about it. You know,
like, no kidding. And I can't wait. You know, let's you know, everybody else who wants to participate in this, jump in. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk about, we can tweet each other all day to see how things are going and say, hey, I've gone 6 hours now without tweeting. Hashtag whoops.
Oh gosh. It is actually harder than I think it is. You know, every time I try to do this, it's very hard. I find myself checking that thing all the time, and I have this knee-jerk reaction and the phantom buzz and all that stuff. I get it all.
Yeah.
And I don't like that part of me. I do have this, though, to play for you. It's a phone call, and it's from a listener, and here it is.
Hey, Scott, this is Mike. I was listening to TMS 755, and you were wondering why somebody can't believe that you don't like the same thing you did. And you referenced a gentleman who enjoys pot and can't believe that you don't. Be flattered. When anybody has that much of a reaction to you not liking something they do, it's because they respect your opinion and they respect you. People have a natural desire for people they respect and whose opinion they respect for them to want to like the same things they do. And it causes a kind of disorientation, a kind of irreconcilability when they don't. And so, just my little take on it. Appreciate it. Shove a hobo, though.
So, Nice way to end that call. I guess I kind of understand what he's saying, but I don't know for sure if that's what was happening there. Like, if you're saying to me, somebody says, Scott, you're lame because you don't smoke or drink. I don't know if that's a sign of respect necessarily.
If it's the same kind of thing as, oh, how can you not like that Shin song, man? That's so good.
Oh, yeah,
dude. Yeah, like you put those on two different levels, apples and oranges kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, bleeding into your fries, still one of the best lines in the history of, how's that going, that Shin song?
What?
Yeah, how's that go?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, crap. What is it? How does it go?
New slang. All right.
Yeah, new slang. That's the one.
I'm licking this up. Gold teeth and a curse for this town. World.
Something burning your, or bleed into your buns or something, or what is it? Bleed into your buns. I think that's how it goes. Talks about the baker.
Godspeed all the bakers at dawn. May they cut all their thumbs and bleed into their buns.
There you go.
Melt away.
Bleed into their buns, not their bleed into their fries. There was some other fry reference though, like French fry reference.
No, I don't see any fry references.
Are you sure? New slang fries. Yeah, here you go.
Oh, there it is. When
dirt,
you notice
dirt
the stripes,
in your fries.
The dirt in your fries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why new slang is amazing. It's got bleeding into buns and dirt in your fries.
Wow, it's like a McDonald's ad.
Kind of is, yeah. All right. Well, that's all been good and fun and all, but we need to call Daryl and have him in here because
yes,
that's what we do. That's how we do. See if he can make me less grumpy. It's so funny. Some people can listen to an episode and think that we are the grumpiest ever,
mm-hmm.
and no one else will notice that.
Like, isn't that we're funny? Complaining about a lot of stuff.
Well, what that tells you is they just see things differently, and everybody else sees, you know, like, perception is everything. If anything, that should be, we should learn from that and go, oh yeah, we should probably not freak out at people because sometimes perceptions are different. Sometimes I can't say the word perception.
Processions,
you know, the processions.
Oh, then processions.
Oh, I've been there before, don't you know? It is Stump a Trek Nerd time, and it's brought to you by...
Hey, Scott, would you kindly have Brian tell Nathan not to be a bitch? If you can't use that language, you can just tell him to behave. Thanks. Signed, Troy Mulkey.
I don't know who this Nathan is, but there you have it.
But don't be a bitch,
no,
Nathan.
No, Nathan, come on, you butthole. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Daryl, also known as...
Complete Maximum Evil.
He's with us now. He is here, and now after the day of mourning has passed in the upper portion of this western northern United States, is everyone over themselves? I mean, it is just football after all. Can we all just be fine now? I mean,
yeah, I think it's subsiding.
Yeah, it just seemed real grim. Everybody I heard from who lives in Seattle couldn't have been grumpier yesterday. Everybody just kind of moping around, half the people not showing up at work. Like, what the hell, man? It's football. Yeah. It's freaking football.
I think
football. It's
getting better now because the further away from the event we get, the less possible it is to go back in time and change it.
Right. And here's the... that's a good... it's a healthy attitude. But here's what I would say, though. No longer should we criticize young, say, 13-year-old girls who get upset because Harry Styles got a new boyfriend. Or because Justin Bieber changed his hair color. Because it's the same damn thing. It really is.
I'd like to hear more about Harry Styles' new boyfriend.
Well, did I say boyfriend? I meant girlfriend. Did I really say boyfriend?
I think you just outed Harry Styles.
Oops. Crap. That reminds me. I need to text my niece and make fun of her for still liking One Direction because she loves Harry Styles. And he just had a birthday. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, grown men literally having their lives fall apart over a game on Sunday is not that different from a 13-year-old girl finding out that Justin Bieber is dating someone besides Selena Gomez and then raging on Twitter. It's the same thing. There's another grumpy old man for you there, CJ on Twitter. All right, Daryl. you know what it is? Occasionally I get fed up with humanity. Occasionally they just irritate the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, TMS is usually catching the brunt. It is the fly screen.
It's the flow vent. It's the air duct by which you'll fire your Your photon torpedoes.
It is the front grill of your car catching the flies as they come on by. That's nice. What it is. All right, Daryl, let's get to you and what you do. You're the Trek nerd. You come on the show. You answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. And as I recall, you got pretty lucky yesterday. Let's see how you do today. This is a Next Generation episode again, this question. And it deals with the episode Transfigurations. The Enterprise is charting an unexplored star system. In this episode, what star cluster does the star system reside in? All right. When he says that as if he already explained the cluster, but he didn't. So it just says, in the Next Generation episode Transfigurations, Enterprise is charting an unexplored star system. What star cluster does the star system reside in? Whatever. Here it is. Is it the Catherine Zeta-Jones Galus cluster? It's just the Zeta Galus cluster. I threw that, the other part in. Is it B, Horvian cluster? C?
Oh, no, it's not that.
All right. Is it C, Brechtian cluster? Or is it D, Tellarius cluster? Tellaris cluster.
Tellaris.
All right, Brian or Daryl, before we go to food, can you pronounce ABBA or ABBA for us? How do you say it?
I would say ABBA.
That's correct.
Great. For those who are listening to the show after the fact, this didn't get recorded, but we talked pre-show about how to pronounce ABBA. And I've always said ABBA. Brian has said ABBA. Daryl said something in between. So did that video.
The video said Aber.
Aber.
Or Aber.
Abracadabra. So we don't know how it's supposed to go. Can someone out there with some knowledge?
I want to know how Arnold Schwarzenegger says it.
He would for sure say ABBA.
Yeah, ABBA would be right. Yeah, for him. But if you're, ABBA does sound like an American trying to say it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, I really like ABBA. They got the Dancing Queen and the, that's how they'd say it. But I admit it's possible I was raised in that vacuum. But let's find out from the listeners. Send us emails and calls and let us know. All right, Daryl.
I'll say OB.
OB? All right, OB's pretty good.
OB like in Bob.
I would listen to an OB.
OB. The ba is silent.
Yeah. A remastered version of the ABBA Best Greatest Hits.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
Tall box. That's what we got right here. I think we're getting down to...
Brass tacks?
Brass tacks here.
Are we going to eat any of the other saltine crackers with...
You say that as if I haven't already done that. that's hilarious. Yeah, I did eat all those.
Cake, breast, and good.
Because I figured they were kind of samesies, and why not?
How about the Rubisco? Oh, never mind. That is the thing. That's the same thing.
I don't mind eating this.
Voice Pops?
Oh, what's that?
Popping candies in a rich cream cookie sandwich.
Ooh, you see these dried green mangoes?
Yes, I do see that.
I don't know about that. Okay, hold on. Oh, there's a little letter in here.
Cashew. Bang, bang.
I never saw the letter. The letter's handwritten.
Oh, I didn't know there was a letter either until now. I opened the wrong end of the long box.
It says, hey, Scott, I know you're getting a box from the Philippines before, but I don't remember what they sent you. So I'm sending you a lot of... You can skip anything that's familiar. Sorry it's not prettily packed. Something, something, something. Much love to all the Morning Stream crew. Your show started a few months after my family moved to the Philippines and has been enough of a dose of home to keep me from becoming homesick. Love the show, bros. Listener Ann, who's currently in the Philippines. That's amazing. Cool. Sorry, we didn't see this before.
My handwritten letter says, with love from the Philippines.
Yeah, we live in a time where the, you don't want to write it three times. That's right. For sure.
Totally fine with that.
Okay, what did you say? Which one? Sorry.
I didn't say anything, but I was thinking we could do the voice pops.
Oh, yeah, voice pops. Let me see.
We could do bang bang, cloud nine, little candy bars.
There's Chucky in here, too.
I don't know if I have this.
There's Chucky. Oh, I should probably refrigerate Chucky.
Oh, Chucky, the Nestle thing?
Yeah, the chocolate milk.
I don't have a...
You don't have a voice pops?
No. Oh, it looks I found them. There they are. That's just such a weird name. I think I was looking for something very different than this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daryl, do you have voice pops?
I have voice pops.
All right, let's do a voice pop. Again, it looks like another cracker goo combo. But it says popping candies. That's weird.
Looks like it's sponsored by The Voice.
It does. Blake Shelton for Voice Pops.
You know that country guy that's on there that's always arguing with Adam Levine? I don't really watch the show, but I kind of know that much about it.
Sure.
He's funny.
He is funny.
I like his, like, backwater dirt living in the South kind of thing. His reading lips thing on Jimmy Fallon was funny as hell.
Oh, the tweets? Reading tweets?
No, it's the headphones on. And
yeah, I just saw this morning, I just saw the tweets, celebrities read tweets.
Yeah.
And he was on that one as well.
All right, pulling this out. Who does that one? That's someone else, right? That's
Jimmy. Reading mean tweets? I thought that was Fallon also, isn't it?
I think that's Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay. Oh, you're right. It is Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. All right, I have one out. I've pulled it out.
Pulled out.
You need some context?
Refreshing your junk?
You need some context here? All right, I'm going to give it a shot. I don't know what to say about this. It seems really...
They're very lemony smelling.
Yeah, I like lemons. I think this has Pop Rocks in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep, certainly does.
Ooh, weird.
Huh, mine doesn't have a voice.
Mine are popping.
Yeah, give it a second.
Oh, there they go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about this. It's just a weird combo. I don't understand it.
I like it. It's just weird that it crackles.
I like the flavor. Mm-hmm. I think the cookies just taste like animal crackers.
And then it crackles for like the 10 minutes after you're done finishing the cookie.
Yeah, that's what killed Mikey from the Life commercials, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spread that rumor
again.
He mixed
Pop Rocks and Coke.
Yeah. Don't go to Snopes.com. You don't have to look that up, everybody.
Oh, no.
Don't go there.
Just trust us. It's true.
Yeah,
it's
trust us. We're the internet. We know what's up.
Shut up, fool!
All right, fine. Daryl, let's do a birthday. You got anybody?
We do.
Hard to beat yesterday because you had freaking data. That was big.
I have to disappear for 60 seconds. All right. I'll wear it back.
All right.
I'm not going to throw up.
All right. All right. He's going to take another dumper. All right, go ahead.
Stephen Mines is 76 today. He played Lieutenant Robert Tomlinson on the TOS episode "Balance of Terror." He was the one that was about to get married and then died at the end.
Oh, I remember that. He's still alive.
Yep.
Oh, amazing.
Only 76.
Oh, he'd have been real young then.
Mm-hmm.
20s. It would have been in his 20s, something like that.
Yep.
That's amazing. Very nice. I was listening to somebody yesterday. Who was it? I was listening to John Cleese yesterday in an interview talking about his early comedy stuff. And he's in his 80s now, early 80s. And he was talking about like 1966 when he was in his 20s as if it was like yesterday. And the way he was describing it, I don't know. I was having the weirdest like nostalgic kind of throwback because we're talking about like, this is years before I'm even born. Talking about a guy who I respected my entire kid and adult life as a great comedic force of entertainment. And yet having him talk about 66 and have that feel like not that long ago, just, I don't know. That was a weird interview. I recommend people check it out. I'm trying to think where I heard it. It was a podcast. Oh, it was Jesse Thorne's Bullseye podcast, which is also on NPR, I think. But if you want to hear an interesting interview, that one with who did I just say it was? My brain just went dead. Not Graham Chapman. The other one.
Eric Idle?
John Cleese? John Cleese, thank you. John Cleese interview. And his new book is called So Anyway. It's literally called So Anyway, I think. It's good. It was really good. People should seek that out. Check it out. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Daryl. Good job on the birthday. Now, let's move on to what? Oh, the question. Let's get back to the question. How do you feel like this one? How do you feel about this one? Zeta, Gaius, Cluster, Gaius, whatever, Galus.
Gellus.
Gellus, even better. Horvian Cluster, Brechtian Cluster, or the Tellaris Cluster?
Well, as I said, it's not B. I think it's A or D. And I'm going to... I somehow remember... This is actually one of my top 20 episodes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's A.
You think that one's A?
Because I kind of remember Picard saying that.
Do you have an easy explanation for why it's in your top 20? What is it about the episode you like?
somebody in the episode evolves into a higher life form.
Oh, I always like that. Mm-hmm. Is that like, that's not the one where they blow the guy's head up, right?
No, no.
Okay, not that guy. Because his deal was similar to that, right? He was some advancing alien life form.
Blow the guy's head up. I don't remember any advanced alien dude.
Wait, remember when him and Riker busted into the room and they both focused their lasers on his face?
Well, that wasn't evolving. The guy was taken over by bugs.
Oh, he was, okay, that's right. Because he had like those Jafar things from from Stargate.
Jafar.
Yeah, the Stargate things. What were they called? Not Jafar.
I was thinking Lion King or something.
Not Jafar. What are they? Jaffa? Whatever it is. The Stargate bad guys in SG-1. People don't know what I mean. You don't like that show, do you?
Yeah, it never clicked with me.
It blows my mind. It is so Star Trek-y. Like, the structure of it, I mean. Like, villain of the week, new planet, new thing to deal with, sense of humor that's Kirkish. You know, like, there's stuff in there that's very Star Trek-y. I'm very surprised by that. I mean, not that you have to like it, but it just surprises me that that's not a thing you got into. I don't know why.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just too picky about stuff.
But you liked the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there's your problem. You got it backwards. There's your problem.
I know.
All right, let's find out if you're right. You say it's A. The judges may or may not agree. Let's see what they say. Is it A?
Congratulations.
It is.
You're a winner.
Oh, man. Doing
that's
it.
Her.
Ooh. Which one? Hold on. This is a clip, but it played too soon. Here's a clip of from that episode. Here you go.
That's her.
Which one?
The one on the right. Don't stare.
Why not?
Because she'll see.
Good. You must let her see the fire in your eyes.
But what would I say?
Words come later. It is the scent that first speaks of love.
Thanks, Worf. That helps a lot.
It's gross, man. So that was a Geordi wants to date episode. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Well, it was one of their little subplot things.
Yeah.
It was the B plot.
Yeah. That's pretty good Worf stuff, though. I may have to cap some of that out.
Yeah, especially his yes or good or whatever it was right after she'll see.
That was pretty good. All right, Daryl. Good job. You did it. You've done it again. You've just nailed it again. I mean, unbelievable. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter, everybody. You can find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And he will now play a game with us. What is it?
Well, I'm dipping back into the leftovers again. Star Trek pet or actual pine tree?
All right. Oh, let's give you a... Here's a... here.
Really, really?
There you go.
Wow, that's kind of appropriate.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
The Jeffrey?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
Pine tree or Star Trek pet?
I've heard of a Jeffrey, some kind of tree, Jeffrey tree. You say it's a kind of pine tree or just tree?
Star Trek pet or a pine tree.
Okay. Oh, or a pine tree. I swear there's like a Jeffrey pine tree or a pine, Jeffrey pine.
I know there are Jeffrey tubes.
Yeah, Jeffrey's. Well, those are Jeffrey's tubes, right?
Jeffrey's tubes, sure.
They're his, damn it.
That's how it gets on the internet.
I don't know why this is ringing a bell, but there's something strongly telling me that it's a tree.
Sure.
And that they're around here even. Like, they're common in the canyons here. So, are you okay if we go tree?
I'm totally okay if we go tree.
All
Let's
right.
go tree.
All right, I hope I haven't let us down. Daryl, we say tree.
You have only let me down because I wanted you to be wrong. These are found in Oregon, Nevada, California, and Mexico.
Not in Utah, though, huh?
Now they might be.
That's weird. Yeah, because I swear they're a thing like in Scouts or something. They said, these are Jeffrey pines. And we laughed.
Jack pines?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. Hey, look at this, everybody. HelloFresh.com is sponsoring today's show before we get to the news. I love these guys at HelloFresh.com. You want amazing food and great recipes from real chefs? Go to HelloFresh.com and let's save you a little bit of money. They'll send you these farm fresh ingredients for 50% off your first order by using the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. That's MORNINGSTREAM at checkout at HelloFresh.com. Do it today. You will not regret what I'm telling you.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Dark Horses and Roars and Kissing Girls.
Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted it to be. About.
Usually I read ahead and see, there's not a thing for it, so let me have something clever, like, you know, whipped cream. It's brought to you by whipped cream coming out of a bra.
You know, it was the only real disappointing thing about that event is In fact, I said in the halftime, in the room I was in, I said, if she doesn't have sparklers coming out of her boobs right now, right. This has all been for naught. Right. Never happened. Anyway, nope. Turns out I got some more news about her being the, this, where is it?
Complete Maximum Evil.
This is about Katy Perry's continued trek to be Complete Maximum Evil.
Complete Maximum Evil.
A website called Halftime Show Before It's News.com. Somebody has written this. Now, somebody can find out if this is a parody site, and it very well might be. I'm looking at other articles here.
BeforeIt'sNews.com.
Every American should spend a day in jail. I have articles like Obama's shadow visa network. Will Congress rein in the president's immigration lawlessness? 1 year in hell surviving a full SHFTF collapse in Bosnia. I mean, some of these sound legit.
I don't think this is a fake news site. I think this is real.
No, they definitely are crossing that line of like, well, it's definitely a alarmist freak out.
Right. Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Right. That's for sure.
And they haven't updated their copyright statement from on the bottom since 2013.
Oh, good. Because I can steal this article then and make
sure,
it my own.
Sure. Steal away.
Well, here's the headline. Ex-Christian Katy Perry promotes dark magic and LGBT agenda at 2015 Super Bowl halftime show. Oh, my gosh. She might really be.
Complete Maximum Evil.
In recent years of the Super Bowl, I'm going to read this like a conspiracy theorist, almost always the highest rated and most watched television broadcast on the planet has given over its famed halftime show to trumpet the cause of New World Order and Illuminati.
I won't believe it unless I hear Third Eagle.
Okay. Yeah, we need him in on this. Ooh, why hasn't he said anything yet?
Oh, I bet he has. I bet he's days away, hours away.
Well, as referenced in their opening Bible,
writing out on a leopard, and as we know,
four small men will control each leg of the leopard, as said
number
in
four.
Daniel. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So it says. So let's see how former Christian Katy Perry did compared to previous years. I like how they keep saying that. Katy Perry opened writing in a golden monster, and glowing red satanic eyes. It's a glowing monster, a golden monster. Sorry, a golden monster. You know, even I knew it was a big tiger, or lion, right. Or whatever. I know what the hell that is. That ain't. It's not a monster, anyway.
No.
Leading as many young women as will follow her into experimentation with the LGBT perverted lifestyle. I like how they went from came out on the golden hoo-ha to that.
Right. Exactly.
Read those words that I've written above closely, it says in this article. It's the devil speaking, and he is coming for you if he can. Perry closed with another pro-LGBT song called Firework. It's actually Fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Do your research. Where she floated over the audience, riding a shooting star with the LGBT rainbow as a tail. Wow, you can see whatever you want to see.
Wow, no kidding.
What I saw was this. That's what I saw.
Exactly.
I don't know about you.
Oh no, I tweeted it too.
I don't hold with conspiracies, and that one bothered me, so I thought I'd share it with everybody.
So the current Third Eagle business is a false flag that's hidden in a recent iPad commercial.
Oh, okay. Let's take a look.
Would you like a link?
Yeah, I got one right here. Let's see here. This is the false hidden iPad commercial.
Welcome to Revelation Unraveled.
Oh,
I am your host, William Tapp.
Oh, hello.
Also known as the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse.
Wait, what?
And the co-prophet of these end times.
All of these are self-given nicknames.
He is getting a little more flamboyant with them, though.
He really is, yes.
All right, so behind him is...
walk-on music, like Sledgehammer or something.
I agree. Okay, he has words behind him that say, change is in the air and the next false flag, it says. The next false, because there's been others. This is the next one. All right, let's see what he says.
Now, on this program, I want to talk about the next false flag event. And believe it or not, it is predicted in a new iPad commercial called Change is in the Air. And I think maybe you ought to listen to me. Because a year ago, I told you that an iPad commercial called Your Verse predicted a false flag event. And that,
what is, what the hell is a false flag event?
It's when a government plan, when a government either plans or intentionally allows an enemy nation, group, or individual attack with the purpose of blaming the home nation.
Okay.
For example, September 11th is an inside job that was planned by the Antichrist and executed by the secret Nazi leadership that will join Russia and the Vatican to do the mark of the beast.
This has got to be... Where'd you get this? This has right to be Urban.
Of, right off of Third Eagle's YouTube page.
Oh, it's off his? That sounds like, yes, like a joke on the like UrbanDictionary.com.
I think so, yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, gosh. I can't even go on with this.
Oh, yeah. No,
maybe later I'll cap some out, but my gosh, guys, everyone calm down. Go spend some time under a Jeffrey tree, which, as we know, represents the leopard. All right. Did you know, Brian, you can earn a little extra cash, $13,000 U.S. dollars.
Whoa,
a year.
Where do I sign up?
Well, per year, you can do this, but you don't have to donate your blood, your plasma, your eggs, or your sperm. Hey, how are your eggs doing?
Oh, they're good. They're good. I'm keeping them warm.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. That's how they want them. They don't want them.
No, no cold eggs.
Don't want no cold eggs, yo. Well, why not?
Runny.
Why not?
Sorry.
Why not poop, says this article. Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yes, your feces are perhaps your greatest untapped monetary resource. Thanks to a nonprofit organization called Open Biome, you can cash in to the tune of $13,000 a year and save lives while you're at it. The Open Biome thing processes and ships loads of it over all over the country. Frozen stool administered to patients who are very sick and have infections like C. diff or C. difficile, however you say it. It's always a
C. difficile.
When I had that really bad, antibiotic treatment, mm-hmm, one of the pills I had to take, the big horse-sized one, was one to fend off the potential of C. diff.
Oh wow!
It's really? Real, yeah. It's real bad, I guess. If you get that and have that, that's really bad, and it's mostly a problem for people who have had maybe a lot of antibiotic treatments, and they are now resistant to, you know, bad bacteria just tearing you up. So, anyway. So they do a poop transplant. We've talked about that on the show before.
We've talked about poop transplants, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's for. It's for you're selling it so that they can stick it into somebody else's.
Hoo-ha, yeah.
Hoo-ha.
It says here, by introducing healthy fecal matter into the gut of a patient by way of endoscopy, that's the reverse of what I did. That's through your mouth hole.
Mm.
Nasal tubes. Nasal tubes. Or a swallowed capsule.
Say it, Hudson.
Yeah, exactly. Doctors can abolish C. diff for good. It actually works. Finding a donor is hard, though. People think it's weird, but you can make, let's see. So far, they shipped 2,000 treatments to 185 hospitals around the country. They've created a giant poop bank, and you can make $13,000, Brian. So look forward to hearing how that goes for you.
I've got a padded envelope full of poop right now. Where do I send it?
Oh, yeah. I do want to wish a happy Valentine's Day early to everybody and do that by reminding you that Harry's, our friends at Harry's.com, have a great Valentine's Day free engraving gift promo happening. We were talking about Harry's yesterday, but today I want to talk about how rad these guys are. I've talked all about the great kits you can get and all this other stuff. You can get the engraved Winston set for just $25 with the code MorningStreamValentine. I like the sound of that. All one word, MorningStreamValentine, no the on the front. It's a giftable Winston set, perfect for Valentine's Day. It's an engraved set, comes wrapped with a sleek gift box, and includes premium customizable card, I should say. Take the hassle out of giving the perfect gift this year, and just give the one you can find at Harry's. It's awesome. Go check it out. They'll be delivered straight to your door. It's free shipping all the time, and save this $15. It's amazing, $15, using the code MorningStreamValentine. At harrys.com. That's harrys.com. This deal is only good through up until Valentine's Day. Please do it today. All right. Time now for this.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Brought to you by those mean girls over there at that cafeteria table.
Aww.
Aww, that's a good, so mean.
90s throwback. Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Lohan or Lohan? How do we do it?
Lindsay Lohan.
All right. You don't say Lohan, Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan. Oh, right. Maybe Lohan. Yeah. Now that I say it out loud. I don't think I've said it out loud in a while.
No.
By the way, her insurance commercial was hilarious.
I don't think I saw it. I thought that was with what's her name, with Kardashian lady.
No, that was a sprint minutes or somebody's
carryover minutes thing. Yeah, yeah, that bugged me. I didn't like that.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan's was part of that same Esurance, sort of You Is Not You, which had the Walter White and I can't remember the other celebrity they got for that. But Lindsay Lohan's is actually pretty damn funny.
Well, here.
You have to look that one up.
Yeah, I'm looking for it here, and it's not popping right up, but we'll see if we can find that. Well, okay. That's good for her then. You got to pay them bills.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep that party lifestyle going. Well, anyway, she's super pissed at Fox News, it turns out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Lohan and mom Dina Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
Filed a lawsuit Monday in New York accusing Sean Hannity and commenter Michelle Fields of defamation regarding a discussion they had in which they said the Lohans were doing cocaine together, the mother and daughter cocaine group there.
Okay.
According to court papers, says the AP, the claim was made during a discussion of celebrity overdoses on Hannity's show on the 4th of February, this is last year, so about a year ago. 2 days after actor Philip Seymour Hoffman died of a heroin overdose, court paper says Fields stated as a matter of fact that Dina was doing cocaine with her daughter. The comment was totally irresponsible, says the Lohan's lawyers, and was made with malicious innuendo, suggesting that Lohan 28 might be next to join the celebrity obituary list.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. What they should have... I mean... Yes, they were not doing cocaine together, but...
Not together.
No, no. The mom was in the bedroom and Lohan was in the bathroom.
Right.
But it was fine. No, I guess they are going to... They're suing and... part of this is kind of almost funny to hear anybody, I guess, take cable network news and certainly commentary seriously anymore because it's all kind of garbage and crap. But then again, I guess if you're being defamed... And is defamation, is that the opposite of fame? Like, is that being defamed?
No, defamed. I guess that would be the root, right? I
never thought of that. Yeah. It has a different connotation, obviously, because it means more like you're saying things about us that aren't true, which will make it harder for us to work. But it's not necessarily giving us less fame. I don't know.
Right. So then there should be a verb called femation.
Yeah, femation.
We'd like some femation, please.
Femation. Okay, I'm gonna find it. You ready for this? When I look up, it didn't do it.
Oh,
that's too bad. Why isn't that working?
I was hoping you're gonna get a pronunciation by the British pronunciation lady. Femation.
Oh, I found it. Here it is. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being told. I'm being told that's filmation.
Filmation.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Death filmation.
That's a complete lack of filmation. So that's going on. That's a thing. That's happening. How about Patricia Arquette? All right, let's talk about her. She's the medium, you know, medium.
She is a medium.
She's been in lots of other things. She's got famous sisters and brothers.
She's in Boyhood. She was in True Romance with Christian Slater.
Mm-hmm. Written by Footman, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
I am very excited about Heart 8. Was it Heart 8? No, Hateful Eight. That's this new movie he's making.
Oh, haven't heard about that.
Yeah, new Western, dude.
Cool.
Go ahead and
make
two Westerns back to back, and I'm all in. Yeah, it's got the he's got Chatham Channing in there. Channing Tatum. Which is crazy. That's totally crazy.
Chatham Tanning.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's the deal. Patricia Arquette had to Google her own Oscar nomination. She says, "It was so surreal. I felt like I was in a weird dream," the Boyhood actress says. Who's nominated for Best Supporting Actress, she told reporters at the Oscar nominees' luncheon on Monday, "I don't know how I'm going to feel at the Oscars. I hope I don't faint." 2 days after learning she was nominated, Arquette and her boyfriend Eric White were at a restaurant when the full realization of her nomination hit. "My boyfriend went to the bathroom, and I seemed to have woken up when he left," she said, laughing. "I grabbed this kid next to me and was like, 'I got nominated for an Academy Award.' He looked at me and was like, 'No, you didn't.' And I was like, 'I know. Can you believe it? Google it. Let's check it.'"
Weird.
Yeah, that's a funny conversation.
Just randomly grab a stranger. "I got nominated for an Academy Award."
Yeah. "Hey, kid, come here. Is that big turkey still in the window? Merry Christmas."
Courtney Cox was my half-sister or my sister-in-law for a while.
Oh, that's right. Because David Arquette. Mm-hmm. How's he doing? He was having trouble for a while there. Is he all right? He was drug stuff.
He did something just recently that...
let's see.
I can't remember what it was.
David Arquette. He is 43. He is seems to be doing better. I mean, I know he was having some substance abuse issues there. Let's see, personal life. Married to Courtney Cox. They have a daughter, Coco Riley Arquette. I order that every time I go.
Yes, oh yeah, the Coco Riley Arquette is delicious.
Dude.
At the Olive Garden, right?
Yeah, it's only, yeah. I mean, it's all how long you cook it so much as it is the recipe. So you can change, you make little changes to it, but it's all about the timing. It's incredible. It makes me want to make love to my tater. let's see. Arquette announced he'd reached the 100-day sober milestone. This was on 2011. So he's doing fine. He's doing good.
Yes, he's got 6 movies in post-production right now, none of which sound familiar. The Tortoise and His Tail, Casual Encounters, Evan's Crime, Bone Tomahawk, in which he plays Purvis, Orion, and Chuck Hank and the San Diego Twins.
I'm glad you pointed out the Purvis role.
Purvis.
In which he plays Purvis. Purvis is a great name.
4 men set out in the Wild West to rescue a group of captives from cannibalistic cave dwellers. Also stars Sean Young.
Whoa, what? Speaking of how are they doing now, man.
Yes, no kidding.
Well, oh, there you go.
Russell.
That's all the, oh, that's cool.
Matthew Fox, Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, see, maybe something to it.
Maybe.
You should see the Hateful Eight
lineup
cast. Yeah, I'm so excited. All right, here.
I'm looking it up right now.
Hateful Eight 2015.
So, Chatham Tating.
Chatham Tating. You got Samuel L. Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Walton Goggins. Oh, yeah.
Boyd Crowder.
Yeah, nice. He plays Sheriff Chris Mannix. You got Jennifer Jason Leigh, Kurt Russell, Tim Roth.
He's also in the, that other one I mentioned.
That's true. Zoe Bell, Michael Madsen. It's good to have him back. Bruce Dern. And then the rest.
Wow.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. I am after finally seeing Django, I the idea of an original freaking Western from Tarantino again has me so jazzed up.
Totally. Post-Civil War Wyoming, bounty hunters try to find shelter during a blizzard, but get involved in a plot of betrayal and deception. Will they survive is the question.
Man, will they? I don't know. Seems really scary. Nice. All right, well, there's the Hateful Eight. And now we'll take a break. Before we do, TweakedAudio.com is sponsoring the show. Tweaked Audio, making earbuds that you'll love. Put them in your ears, listen to great things, and decide that it's a good thing that they give you a lifetime warranty because you don't have to worry about them. Something bad happens, boop, they take care of you. That's 5 styles, 7 great colors, all designed for engineered for durability and noise reduction. And did I mention that lifetime warranty? Well, I did. Use Stream at checkout for 33% off on your next pair of audio earbuds from tweakedaudio.com. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran will be here. We have your emails and more, so stay tuned for that. What music do you have for me now?
Well, I have an email from Scott from Houston, says, "Hey, Starks and Baratheons, on January 31st, my beloved Khaleesi will be turning 40. To commemorate this occasion, I'll be taking her away from work and her 3 dragons and spending the weekend in California. I would love it if you could play a song for her the week before her birthday. Sorry, we're going to do it after. So I could let her listen during our travels. A few months ago, I introduced her to Game of Thrones, and we quickly made it through the whole series. Since we could all use a reminder that the new season is approaching, could you please play a cover of the theme song? I know you've played various covers over the years, so I'll leave it up to you to find something unique. I really enjoyed the big band version that went around the web recently, but I'm not sure if they actually have a playable recording available. The YouTube audio wasn't that great. Jon Snow knows nothing, though. Scott from Houston."
Amazing. That's one of the best ones.
It's a good closer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got Fat Tuesday coming up in a couple weeks. We've got Game of Thrones coming up in a couple months. But we did just see that awesome trailer for season 5. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to a Game of Thrones theme that kind of has that New Orleans jazz band feel to it. And this is actually the one that he recommended, Swamp Donkeys. I think the audio is okay. It's not fantastic, but the audio is good enough that people are going to enjoy it. And here's something kind of interesting. The Swamp Donkeys are currently working on an album of standards, I guess covers of standards, featuring Alia Shawkat from Arrested Development.
What? Weird. Yeah. Okay.
So I guess she's a singer.
She's, who knew? That's maybe, right?
That's maybe. Yep.
Okay. Weird.
That's never say. Never mind. Never mind. It was a Romeo Void reference for people.
Pretty good.
All right. Game of Thrones theme. Here is the Swamp Donkeys and their take on it. Enjoy this. Going out to Scott from Houston.
We're going to fight. You keep talking. We'll be right back. So who knows where that song is from?
Hi, what a cute boy. Interested in my body, aren't you?
Not interested.
Oh, you're into that.
I like girls, but now it's about justice.
What are those holes?
Lava tubes.
The Morning Stream. Shoving hobos and sucking the cheese since 2011.
And we're back. Hello, everybody.
Yes. Hello. I like girls, but I'm into justice.
I'm into justice. What a stupid video game that must have been. good to be back. Hello. Hello. And that's, if somebody asked in the chat room what this was referencing when we said lava tubes.
What are those holes?
Lava tubes.
That's, what's his name?
It's Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson, yeah. Yes. What was the film? Congo?
Congo.
Yeah.
Lava tubes.
Congo. Will you ever be alone or whatever?
Lots of monkeys attacking us.
All right, let's get Bill in here.
There's blue diamonds in the dust.
I'd be all right with Django being applied to everything.
Sure.
As far
Star
as the sun.
Wars.
Star Wars.
There's a stormtrooper out in the desert.
Can you really feel the force? Your dad's a real jackass. Yeah, you could have some fun.
Yeah.
Some real fun. Bill Duran is on the line with us. Oh, I haven't played this. Here, hold on. We got to do this right. Ain't no messing around here in the land of the living here. Hold on. Here we go. Here you go. Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Bill Duran, what's going on, buddy?
All right. Yes.
That one, too. That one's a good one.
That's my favorite. Yeah.
That one's pretty good. Bill Duran is here, the fitness geek. He comes on the show and talks about fitness stuff, and he does it every damn Tuesday, or at least when he's in town, and it's always good to have him here. Bill, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing fantastic. You know why?
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 Because I had bacon this morning.
Oh, that sounds great. Man,
Bacon makes everything better.
I've had none of that today. Maybe I will have some of that later. That seems like a grand idea. And after all your bacon talk last time, I think there were probably a lot of people eating bacon today.
Oh, definitely. I hope so.
Yeah. Pro bacon.
I did. I had my two strips of bacon. Nothing crazy. I did not eat a fistful of bacon, but it was glorious.
Yeah. Great Sergio movie, by the way. Fistful of bacon. Yeah.
So good.
Yes. Really good stuff. Well, Bill, what is on the docket today for how we can live a healthier lifestyle and still be nerds?
So cheat days are a pretty common trend when it comes to fitness and weight loss. You know, that one day out of the week when you go, you say, that's it. I was good all week. Cheating today.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Rock and his three pizzas and all
that's
that.
Right.
Oh yeah, no, it was all something with chicken breasts, right? Wasn't it like
tons of chicken? Yeah,
right. It was like a quarter chicken and
just a chicken whole,
yeah, and
right,
big
live
and huge chunks of
pulled out the skeleton.
Huge chunks of cod was another thing you always eaten a lot of.
That's what it was. It was the cod. Yes.
Yeah, lots of fish, lots of fish oil.
So I'm doing that right now. I'm on a cheat day schedule and I'm sticking to it pretty well. Saturday is the day. The rest of the week, doing good, but Saturday is take off the kitty gloves. Let's get messy, guys.
What is your what have you found to be the biggest challenge with that? Like, it seems like that would give me the proper motivation to say, all right, we have this one day where I can kind of eat what I want. The rest of the time, I got to be hardcore and look forward to that day. Like, it's an age old trick. You use it with kids. If you do your homework now, you can play over here. You know, like there's a lot of knowledge and experience with that, but I still struggle with it. I find that as I am a adult man, it is very hard for me to like sometimes want to stick to that stuff. I really bang against it.
That's because as an adult who has an income and a vehicle, you can go get whatever food whenever you want.
Yeah.
There's no one else to tell you that you gotta stick to that schedule.
There's nobody lording over me, reminding me of the rules like a parent would or whatever. So it's completely on me. And man, do I struggle with that.
So here's one way that I try and help myself to stick to the schedule. So for the rest of the week, our whole house, we're doing really good. We're eating super healthy. We went to Costco. We stocked up on like frozen veggies and proteins. We got a lot of like frozen chicken and steak and goodies. We got healthy options. So there's no excuse to go eat something unhealthy or like to go out to eat for lunch because the house is full of food. I work at my house. There's tons of food here. No excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did not stock up on cheat day foods. We don't have a hidden stash of anything anywhere.
And that's probably a good idea because then you might cheat on your cheat day, right? You might say, well, that box of Twinkies is probably going to go bad, or it's a bad example, but you know, at least no. it keeps you honest, not having the cheat food.
Yes, it keeps me from temptation, is what it does.
Yeah, I got to work better on that.
When it comes to giving in to temptation or being lazy, I will lean towards being lazy, meaning I will eat what's in the fridge, whatever is there.
Mm-hmm.
So what we ended up doing this week is instead of stocking up on cheat day foods, on the cheat day, right, on Saturday, we went out and bought just food for that day.
Mm.
We went out to breakfast. I got hash browns and sausage and biscuits and gravy for breakfast. Just a pile of carbohydrates. Woo! And then right after that, we went shopping, which is good. It's good to shop when you're full. Otherwise, when you're hungry, you're like, we need all of this. You just run down the aisle with your arm out and you just knock all the food into your
right into the basket. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how the French shop every day, I'm told. That's what Patrick tells me. They go, you go to market. You go to market in the morning, you buy just what you need for the day, and then that's it. And that seems like there's some wisdom there. You know?
Well, here's the temptation though. When you're shopping, especially if you're at like a Mega Mart place that's always got deals and stuff going, they'll be like, "No, you got to buy a ton of stuff, because you buy a ton of stuff, then you get the deal. You get the economic choice."
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we got a frozen pizza for our cheat day, because our cheat day we were gonna sit around playing video games eating frozen pizza, because that's the kind of people we are. There may be a deal that's like, if you buy one DiGiorno pizza, you get another one for half price.
Mm.
And you're like, well, that is a very good deal. And I could buy that second pizza, put it in the freezer, and save it for next week.
Yeah.
Okay, raise your hand if you're going to save that pizza for next
you're
week.
You're not going to. You're going to eat it. No. You're going to freaking eat
days,
it.
2 days max is what I give you.
Yeah.
Because I have a superpower, you understand. I can sense frozen pizzas when they're within like a 30-foot proximity.
Mm. My frozen pizza sense is tingling. Yeah.
So it's like that food is not safe in the freezer. It's not. It probably wouldn't be safe on the lawn. And my neighbor's frozen pizza is in question too. I'm probably gonna knock out. You guys have my frozen pizza? I think I can sense it. So we had our breakfast. We got some sandwiches. We got some small snacks. We got some pizza. And we got a 6-pack of beer to split between two, me and Brittany, my wife, for the day. And we ate all of it.
Mm.
And on Sunday, the next day, it was gone. No. And we went back to our normal plan. And it worked really well.
Yeah. I'm impressed. I got to figure this out for me. Part of the problem is that we have like a cold storage. Like so last night the kids were over, Taylor and Dylan, and we played Fibbage in that game, which is so much fun.
Love that.
And they're hanging out and we're having fun and everything. And so Nick goes, "Hey, I'm going to go get something." He goes into the cold storage room and finds that Kim got some deal a while back on big bags of animal crackers, which again, we shouldn't even be eating those. I don't have any 5-year-olds living here. Like, what the hell? So
they're
he comes
not
in,
that good.
No, they're not. But they can't stop eating them. They're just ridiculously addicting.
Because they're teenagers and they're there.
Because they're there. So he brings that big bag out. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to have those. That's for teenagers who can burn it off tonight. And before I know it, I got my hand in there and I'm fisting them out and I'm eating those stupid things.
Of course. Yeah.
And I've had a stomach ache all morning. And I think it's because I ate so many animal crackers last night. Well, Scott, you big dumbass. You shouldn't have done it. But see, this is where I run into the problem. When it's there, like you just said, because it's there, it's so hard not to.
Exactly.
And we need to get to the point where it's just not there. So I got to, Kim and I are going to sit down and go, all right, screw Groupon. F this whole thing where you get double to everything because you're getting good deals. I'm all about saving money. There's no question about that. But we got to, we can't have that stuff around because I don't have the willpower. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, Costco for produce, great idea. Costco for, you know, the things that you need that are more healthy, rice and stuff like that, great idea. Chicken breasts and fish and all that. But, boy, when you go down those aisles and you see, like, wow, like, look at all the boxes of Apple Jacks and Captain Crunch I can get for so cheap.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
It's that processed pile of
Achilles
terrible.
Heel has got to be it looks like a milk jug. Like a gallon paper milk jug of the goldfish.
I knew where this was going.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have dipped into that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the problem with that is the lid on it, like a milk carton, right? Mm-hmm. You have to peel that open. So there's no screw on top. Once it's open, you're like, that's open, and those things that king's hoard of goldfish is going bad. Yeah. It's going bad now, and I don't want them all to go bad. So I better eat them by the fistful.
Yeah. And those are the worst possible. I cannot think of anything more processed or less nutritious for you.
But so delicious.
Than those goldfish, dude. Ugh. Mm-hmm. And the kind that are covered in...
But if you're going to do it on your cheat day, go to the store, get the little package. Sure, you're not getting the best deal in the world. That's fine. Mm. Your thighs will thank you. Mm-hmm. When you polish off that entire thing of goldfish on Saturday, and then come Sunday morning, you're not staring down the barrel of that gallon carton.
Oh, that's miserable, that whole idea. This is good advice. All of this is good advice. As always, Bill comes here with good advice. Yes. These are good ideas, you guys.
Smart man he is.
You know what? I'm not going to cheat until Saturday. That's my goal now. I forget that there's a cold storage full of stuff I want to eat. I'm going to do good all week instead of good here and there, and then occasionally go, oh, why did I eat that whole thing? I'm waiting until Saturday. That's what I'm going to do, starting right now.
Good
will
man.
Will you at home do the same?
No.
Okay, great. Bill, you got anything else going on you want people to know about?
Just punishedprops.com. It's actually punishedprops.com now, which is wacky. We migrated a whole website. I didn't actually do much of the work. Someone else did.
Yeah.
But it's no longer props.punishedpixels.com. It's just punishedpprops.com.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. I just pulled it up. And I love the updates. Looking awesome.
Yes.
Very nice indeed. And there's always something to be seen.
Go check that out. We're going to be doing a little bit more work there. My wife, Brittany's going to be helping out a little more. And we're going to have some goodness.
Good. About time that she helps out.
Yeah, geez. Yeah, no,
right out loud.
Slacker. By the way, I really, really liked the video about how to take awesome pictures of the stuff you make, your costumes, your props, your guns. Like that's one thing Bill's always had this big advantage with. It's kind of like being a cartoonist and a podcaster. You can make your own album art. In Bill's case, it's like you need good photography or video shoots of your finished work. You just nailing that stuff. And I think that's a skill that if you can bring that into that, clearly that's made you a more well-rounded prop maker. So anyway.
Yes. Say cheese, you guys.
Worth checking out. Oh, picture of us. Oh, I'm going to hang up now so I don't ever have to have that happen again. Bye, Bill. See you later, buddy.
You can actually still take pictures of us.
So while we've been talking to Bill, I kept hoping maybe Kim was here to get it, but the doorbell keeps ringing and still ringing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause this.
Okay.
And I'll be right back. Should only take me a second. I'll find out what's going on up there. It's probably a delivery. So hang on. I'll be right. Okay. We are recording again. Hello and welcome back.
Oh, hello.
Everyone. Yes. We weren't gone very long, but long enough.
Got a lot of questions answered.
Did you? Good.
Yeah. It's fun. I want to do that on the regular. Like, it's faster than the tweet, the Ask TMS thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's fun.
It is fun.
I like it too.
Yes.
We should do that more.
Maybe we just need to do a Ask TMS speed round as opposed to giving ourselves time to think about answers.
That'd be all right.
And not do it with tweets. Do it like with chat room.
Yeah, we could do. That'd be fine. The live folks are they? Hey, man, they're the lifeblood. They're the
jelly in our sandwich.
There you go. That's the one. You're the weird pop rock goo in my cracker sandwich thing I ate today. Harry, look at this. We got some emails. I'm going to read this to you real quick.
Yay.
We got one because no Justin today. We'll have him tomorrow. Badger Williams in the Tadpool occasionally says this about sports ball. Says, when I use the term sports ball, I don't use it in a malicious way. I am using it in a way that I have no idea what football is. It is funny to me that this such a national holiday. I don't know why he wrote it that way. This is, probably means this is. Such a national holiday that you have trouble finding an open restaurant and I'm so oblivious to what it is. Ha ha. Love the sports ball, though, Badger Williams. No, I get it. But do you really not know anything?
You know what football is on the surface,
yeah,
right?
I know what I know what ballet is. I know what I think it's something I don't care that much about. I know what a One Direction concert would do to traffic downtown, but I don't know anything about the band.
I've never been to a One Direction concert, but I could pretty much describe what it's like. It's going to be five guys on a stage singing mostly love songs and ballads to an audience of screaming 13-year-old girls.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, I don't know much about a gay pride parade in that I've never been in one, but I know what they are and that they exist and that I should avoid traffic on that street while they're doing it.
And Badger, I would say that you may not know the rules about football. You may have no idea how first downs and point afters and stuff like that work, but you know that the Super Bowl is the end result of a season of teams playing against each other to see who's the best.
Yeah, there's sports is not like this weird foreign thing. So this is part of my problem, is that people pretend like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Right. Like, yeah, right. You do.
And you know what's called football, so you don't have to use the term sports ball.
Yeah, you know exactly what the hell it is. And when it's basketball, you know what that is, too. And you know when you see a baseball player with a bat in his hand, you don't go, I wonder what form of sports ball that is.
But we love you, Badger. Thank you.
Yeah, you're fine.
Writing.
You're fine.
And keep up your Star Trek fanfic.
Yeah, we like it. It's pretty good. Matt McChesney wrote in, heir to the country music fortune.
The Kenny McChesney throne?
Yeah, the McChesney throne. What would the McChesney be at McDonald's? What would they have
McChesney,
on that?
McChesney, it would be two all beef patties, special sauce, and a horseshoe.
So like it is now then. They just changed
pretty
the
much,
name.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Matt, a.k.a. Brain Goo in the Tadpool, says, hello, right shark and left shark. Nice. I drew a shark yesterday. That was fun.
I saw that. Yeah.
I am just writing in today to thank you for all your hard work and effort making my day better and producing these high-quality podcasts. Well, thank you very much. That being said, I have a serious question to ask both of you. This is just an interesting thought experiment. I thought I would generate some interesting stories. Try to think back to your earliest smell memory. What is it? For me, it's the faint smell of fall damp leaves and the smell of wood stoves burning. I've always loved the fall, and these smells bring me back to a time of jumping in leaves or trick-or-treating around the neighborhood. Love the froyo, Matt. This question hit me kind of funny because, honestly, I can't think of my earliest. Like,
yeah, I mean, the earliest one that I can think of that I would recognize that if I smelled it today, it would take me right back to that are pencil sharpener shavings and school, like, chalk dust, erasers,
yeah,
the smell of the chalk dust and stuff.
That one's a good one. For me, it's probably a toss-up between rain, the smell of rain outside on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I used to love that. Or the smell of my dad's garage where he did all his like tinkering and working and stuff. This combination of like car oil and metal, like rusty metal smells. It's all of that stuff brings me back to when I'd go out and help my dad do stuff. Yeah. I used to love that.
Old arcades had a smell too. Ozone.
Yeah, dude. Like the oxygen was not good in there.
Right. But I mean, it was more than just a cigarette smoke and teenage BO smell. It was like a, there was an ozone electricity kind of smell.
Yeah.
I get that when I walked into the Pinball Hall of Fame in Vegas too.
Totally. Yeah. They still have that smell for sure. And certain casino smells, like there's moments when I was a kid where you'd be blasted by what was clearly a brand new smell experience.
Yeah,
I will never forget the smell. Okay, maybe this is the earliest one. When I was like 8 or 9, we were cleaning out an attic of a place my dad owned. We were not cleaning out an addict, as far as I know.
Cleaning out an attic.
Yeah.
Just tying him to a chair, letting him shake it all out of his system.
Have a Dr. Drew there helping him, all that stuff. No, he was this place he owned, and he was cleaning it out to sell it, and they had the cellar attic thing that was full of crap. Junk and heavy stuff, and I felt like we were in there just breathing in awful things, like different kinds of horrible dusts and whatever. And we pulled out, we got down to this thing, and it started to smell real weird in there. And we found a dead flat cat. The cat had been flattened by something falling on it in there.
Oh, jeez!
And had died there, and it was
Yeah,
that is a very early smell memory for me.
Ugh.
So now, if I smell like a rotting animal of any kind, I'm immediately brought back to that. So like when I had a gerbil die in the vent once, and it just smelled like that all day long.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Don't have your gerbils die in the vents is all I would recommend.
No,
We got an email here from Mark S. who says, during your recent show, you spoke about the Super Bowl and the commercials. The nationwide commercial about the dead kid was mentioned by Brian. It was a total downer at the end. What made it worse was my completely captivated 4-year-old who asked, what happened to him? To which my 9-year-old son answered in the saddest tone ever, he died.
Oh,
my son looked like he was going to break down into tears after watching that commercial. Thankfully, it only lasted until the next commercial, which must have been funny. Mark S. from Wisconsin.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's grim. That was grim.
That was grim.
Grim and bad.
By the way, did you hear, speaking of Wisconsin, so yesterday being Groundhog Day and they do their big thing in Punxsutawney, there also was some sort of event in Wisconsin for some reason where they brought out a groundhog and the groundhog whispered in the mayor's ear that he didn't see his shadow.
I did see this.
And the The groundhog chops down on the ear of the Wisconsin mayor.
Bit him hard, too.
Bit him really hard, and I was really hoping that it would be a loud enough, like, ah, that it would go with the...
Yeah, he kind of
the goat pants lady and the what was the one you sent me the other day? Did you?
Oh, the guy with the turkey and the
the turkey.
Yeah, that vine with the turkey is pretty funny. yeah, the that guy held his cool. Unfortunately,
yeah, he did.
I would have preferred him freaking out.
Right, and he really should have. He had such an opportunity to play off of it and say, well, yep, the groundhog just told me first of all that he saw his shadow. And he also told me that he craves human flesh. Yeah. Run, everybody!
I'm trying to find my clip, and I can't find it. What would I have named that? Where?
You sent it to me via text. I could send you that text link back.
Yeah, send that over here real quick, and I can pull it up and play it here from my text app. But in the meantime, where's that lady, though? Oh, here she is.
Would you not eat my pants? Ah!
Yeah, she's the one. Eat my pants. I don't know why. I listed her as County Fair Lady, which has no way to search for it. It's stupid.
Would you not eat my pants? Ah!
All right, great. All right.
So here's the funny thing is, it's automatically playing on my screen, so I keep hearing it over and over as I try and send you this link.
Did you send via... Or wait, I guess Skype. I probably have the text here.
Well, it's in your Skype.
All right. How about Skype?
Why don't you just go to Skype? Hey, Brian, why don't you just go to Skype?
I'm just going to do Skype. That's my plan. All right, here you go, everybody. Listen to this guy.
At the show. At the show.
So basically, he's one of those reporters. He's at the fair. He's in Sydney, Australia. And for some reason, this turkey, or I guess it's a rooster, just completely flips out in his arms, and he decides to run away screaming. Right. That guy is amazing.
I just posted the link into the chat room as well, good. So they can enjoy that.
Too good. We got one final email from Bronco, our friend Bronco.
Oh, yeah, love Bronco.
Canadian, with the most. Anyway, so Scott and Brian, regarding this week's discussion with Nicole, Scott asked the question that if smart sci-fi goes direct to streaming, how will the public be exposed to good sci-fi if it's not in theaters? I think it's getting better distribution than ever now, since it's going direct to every home that wants it. The general public has spoke loud and clear with their wallets that they're not interested in good sci-fi in theaters by not going. The exceptions are movies like Looper and Edge of Tomorrow, where they can get big stars stitched into good movies. But these movies are dumbed down from original scripts. The best recent sci-fi we have reviewed on Sci-Fi Tech Talk has been... Oh, that's a show, by the way, Sci-Fi Tech Talk.
Mm. Yeah, way to slip that plug in, Bronco. Yeah, that'll nice be job. $10.
I see the whole point here. Mm-hmm. The Europa Report and Primer. I also like Primer. These were amazing movies and required a ton from the viewer. I don't think the average theater goer is looking for an experience that challenging, that is that challenging to them, Bronco. I completely agree with him on all points.
That's why your movies that have the best box office are things like, you know, Dude, Where's My Car, mm-hmm. and The Expendables and things like that, and not things like The Theory of Everything and The Imitation Game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in theaters, but they don't make their money there.
I just can't keep track. So is he gay? Is that the whole thing? Is he's gay? I don't get it.
Is he homosexual?
I don't. Okay. So the only loss I think from theaters not having as much good sci-fi is that you also now, because the streaming direct and all that implies you're getting lower budgets, and sometimes in science fiction you want bigger budgets for better special effects and better effects work in general. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that money is being used in these smaller productions, and that's the only other real sadness I have for it, but I agree with him on all the other points there. Thanks, Bronco.
Yeah.
Setting the record straight, buddy.
Well played, sir.
Well played, Bronco. Well played. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for being here. If you'd like to get us your own calls and emails, you can send them to 801-471-0462. Leave us a message right there, 801-471-0462, or you can email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. While you're at it, our website is frogpants.com/TMS, and you can find us on Twitter. At Coverville, at Scott Johnson, and at Morning Stream.
Mm-hmm.
That will officially do it for today's broadcast. Thank you all for being here. And we're right on time, which I love. Brian, before we go, you oftentimes bring musical selections to play. And sure. I would really like it if today was no different.
Well, let's play a 16-minute song to close out the show then, shall we?
Brilliant.
Just to celebrate a
certain
time?
Sure.
All right, a little bit shorter. Elise wrote in, said, "Hey, Scott and Brian. My Brother Jacob has his first performance in a play this Tuesday, February 3rd. And as a thank you to him for recently introducing me to this podcast and wishes for good luck for him, I wanted to ask if you would play a cover of the song Hey Brother by Avicii. Or Avicii. I think it's pronounced Avicii, right?
I would. I've heard Avicii even said, but I who knows if that's being said right.
The versions by Vitamin String Quartet and Andy Lange and Josh Golden are great, but if Brian knows of any other good versions of the song, that would be greatly appreciated also. Signed, Elise. Well, Elise, I'm a big sucker for the Vitamin String Quartet band. I love the albums they put out. And every year, they put out a multi-volume set or like two or three volumes of covers of the best songs from that year. So like things like Pharrell Williams and Lorde and... you know, all the stuff that came out in 2014, they've already put out a couple of volumes of the VSQ Performs the Hits of 2014. This one came from volume one of that. It's a Vitamin String Quartet and their cover of Avicii Abba Ceviche's Hey Brother. And this one's going out to Elise and her brother.
That sounds awesome. We'll be back tomorrow with our normal Wednesday shenanigans, including a little guest appearance by Justin Robert Young in our news segment. We'll see you guys then. Thank you.
more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
You heard shit, monkey boy.